from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all of my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I shared with you that I woke up this morning in our home in Corinth with, once again, no power. We, like many in our region, endured those 70 mile per hour winds. I don't think I've ever seen trees move and dance in the winds with the vigor that they engulfed yesterday. I thought surely a tornado was coming, but instead it was the eye of a tropical storm that had traveled to our area, and we felt the severity of the winds and the rain. This morning I got up and went out to my car to charge my phone a bit, and as I was charging the phone, Manya and I and Luke made a little agreement last night. We were going to play a little game. We said, "Okay, let's start counting every how many times we walk into a room and turn the light switch on." You want to really feel dumb? Invest yourself in a game like that. I only failed twice last night. But this morning, getting up feeling good about myself, I walked into the bathroom and I reminisced. I even thought, Frank, I said, I've only messed up twice. Just then I reached up and flipped on the light switch. 5 seconds later, I walked in my closet. It was really dark. I flipped on the light switch. I failed and doubled my failure rate, Norris, within 30 seconds of time. I felt small, and I was humbled. As I walked outside, I shared with you, to charge my phone, I was sitting in the car doing a little praying and reflecting, drinking coffee. Now, this was smart, but I can't take credit. My lovely little wife, Manya, would. We ate at Cracker Barrel last night knowing that our Keurig would not be working this morning. We got two large cup of coffees to go last night, and I heated those on our gas stove this morning. So as I was out drinking my coffee and sitting in my car, just all of a sudden, a lovely mockingbird flew up right onto my side mirror. And then in an instant, it hopped over onto my hood and was standing right in front of me, perched just on the other side of the window. I thought for a moment, I've never been so close to a mockingbird in all of my life. And I tried to grasp all of the details of his body, those gold and black eyes that just jumped from his body. The lovely manicure of his wings that none seemed out of place, even though he'd been through the storm. And the mockingbird wasn't fearful of me at all. It seemed that he knew, he had a knowing beyond my understanding, that there was a separation between the two of us. He stayed there just a few seconds. And then he took off. He flew. And I thought he was gone forever. Then I looked up on top of the house, and there he was, perched on our house all alone. I rolled down my window, hoping that I would hear him singing his morning song. But the song never came. The mockingbird, in spite of his brain being small, I guess the size of a marble, right, knew something that I didn't, how to survive in the storm. You know, our scripture today tells us that our God gives us something that we don't have. To survive in the storms, even beyond our physical circumstances, the storms that engulf us, whether it be professionally, publicly, relationally, whatever we face in life. God has equipped us with the strength and sustainability to not only endure, but to thrive in the storms of life. In our scripture, Luke shares how Jesus proclaims a parable, and he says to those who are listening, he says, I want you to understand to not think too highly of yourselves. In other words, if you will simply humble yourselves, then you will find yourselves exalted through God's grace. This is a theme repeated throughout Holy Scripture. Just last month, the first Sunday in September, we preached and reflected upon that high calling of the faith where Jesus taught and he went into a banquet. You remember the story? And he said to those who were picking the high place of honor, he said, no, move down to the lowest place where in case someone more important than you or more desired in attendance than you comes. He said, no, those who humble themselves once again there will be exalted. And those who exalt themselves are humble. This is a consistent theme, dear church, of our faith. Humility is central to our ability to minister to a world in need and quite literally to look like Jesus. That was his nature. It wasn't only what our Lord preached. Preaching is easy sometimes, right? It's the living where we find the grind of life. Jesus taught this parable because Jesus lived this parable. Jeff Orge is the president of Gateway Seminary near Los Angeles. It had moved from San Francisco area. I've spoken with some of you about his model of humility. Orge says this about humility. He believes that not only is it central to our faith, he says it's an important quality of leadership. Whether we're leading a seminary, a nation, a basketball team, or a church, Orge says that humility equips us as leaders. He speaks of how the Bible throughout says this call to faith, humble yourselves. In other words, take responsibility for growing in humility. He goes on to say that here are some ways that we can grow in humility. We can grow in humility through prayer. We can grow in humility by embracing a teachable spirit, not thinking we already have all the answers, correct? He also says that we develop humility when we give others credit. When we realize we need the other. Finally, he says this, gratitude is rooted in humility and fosters even deeper humility. The discipline of being grateful, dear church, is essential to learning humility. So you see, that's what we do as we gather as assemblies of worshipers on Sunday morning. It's not only to grow intellectually, and that is part of the process. It's not only to practice our love as we pray for one another and lift up the concerns of the believers. But dear soul, first and foremost, it's a place that we gather to express our gratitude to God. It's humbly saying, God, we need more of you and less of us. In Philippians chapter 2, a passage that many of us know by heart, the Apostle Paul, one of the great teachers, right, of our faith, expresses to those who he is instructing the importance of humility. When he says this, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, God's Son, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or held on to. But yet he humbled himself, taking the form of a servant or a slave, and serving all of creation, even to the point of death, that death on the cross. You see, Paul is saying, as followers of Christ, we need to take up our own humility and serve our Lord for the glory of our Savior above. Now, all that's good preacher talk, isn't it? And all of that bodes well here in the sacredness, the safety of this sanctuary. But maybe you're thinking this morning, preacher, that works well in here. But you see, I'm living out there. I hear you, preacher, saying that we should be humble and that Jesus, our Lord, was humble. But you know what? I'm not Jesus. And not only that, this didn't bode so well for Jesus. It got him killed. And I don't want to be the Savior of the world, preacher. I'm just trying to save my business or my family. I get it. Get it. But have you ever considered this, that humility works not only in here, but also out there? Hear this report that was written just over a year ago in the Wall Street Journal, not the banner of our faith, right? The Wall Street Journal, in an article titled "The Best Bosses Are Humble Bosses" on October 9, 2018. And they went on to describe in this article that many businesses are starting to realize they've devalued or misvalued the importance of humility in the marketplace. Just a couple of quotes and benefits that they say. Those who are humble are eager to improve themselves. They encourage others and they appreciate their strengths. They focus on goals beyond themselves and their own self-interest. They give credit to the team, those who are humble subordinates and co-workers. They even go on to say that one company in particular, Patagonia, some of you frequent their clothing, right? I've done that. Boy, it keeps you warm on a cold day. Patagonia, their upper level supervision, has embraced that commitment to look for humility in those who serve with them. It's part of their interview process. If you don't have the essentials of humility, then that is a deal killer if you want to be a part of Patagonia's team. You see, humility not only works in here, but it works out there. Jesus said, if we will humble ourselves and trust more in God, then we will find ourselves in the process being exalted through God's grace and mercy. Wow. Benjamin Franklin once said, one of the great leaders of our nation, right? Benjamin Franklin once said, after our crosses and our losses, we grow wiser and humbler. There's growth and there's a grace when we embody the humility of our Lord. But lastly, from that passage of Philippians chapter 2, not only are we called to be humble, but I think Paul gives us, dear church, a model and a prescription of how to grow in humility. Paul says, not only is there a call to become humble like Christ, but he also shares with us how to become humble like Christ. You know, it's hard to preach and think where Philippians is at the same time, but here it is. I found it. Kind of like trying to say the ABCs without carrying on a conversation with somebody else. Here is the prescription Paul tells us of how to grow. Please review it on your own at some point. Philippians chapter 2. He says, if there is any consolation from love. First, before that, he said, if there's any encouragement in Christ. So you see, there's two things I think Paul is telling us. How do we grow in humility? We become more encouraging of those around us. We encourage others as Christ encouraged us. How do we grow in humility? We receive the consolation that we did in love, and we console others through love. Paul says, share in the Spirit. If you received any compassion and sympathy, then share it as well. We grow in humility by being sympathetic and compassionate to the world around us. Finally, he sums it all together by saying, let the same mind, the same love of our Lord be in you. How do we grow in humility? We grow in our relationship with our Lord. We seek to follow in His ways and to serve Him daily. And then finally, friends, I want to remind us that the essence of this text today, it is about us living humbly in our daily walk. It is about us leading our community, our teams, wherever they may be, more in the image of our Lord and finding exaltation in being humble. But most of all, friends, this text is about our redemption before our holy God. You see, our Lord began by saying, Jesus told this parable because there were some who were assured of their own righteousness. As Judge Eliot and I often talk about, there was no one righteous, Paul said. No, not one. And because of our unrighteousness, when we humble ourselves before our holy God, we find justification and forgiveness forever. Amen.